22 tonight. Proverbs 22, I announced this morning, I thought, Lord willing, I would continue all my plans to be in this chapter. And looking at one verse this evening, and actually looking at half of one verse, this book, Proverbs, so full, so rich, and we want to look at this great text here tonight, Proverbs chapter 22. Once you find your place, let's stand together in honor of God's Word. We honor the Lord by standing when we read His Word, and let's read the verse 1 together. You could probably quote it if you've been around your Bible very long at all. It's a great verse. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Let's read it together. Ready? And let's read. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And dear Lord, I thank You for this book, and I pray that You will bless it tonight as it's preached. Lord, help me. Give my voice some strength. It's still a little raspy from the cold, but I thank You that I feel so much better. Lord, thank You for the good crowd here this evening. Pray that You'll please be with those that could not be here for health purposes and reasons, Lord, encourage their hearts tonight. Father, I pray that You'll bless the song to our hearts and then the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Preach right out of that verse right there. It's Proverbs 22 in verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I'm going to speak tonight on the wise choice of a good name. The wise choice of a good name. Let's pray. And dear Lord, Your book is so rich and full. I pray that You'll just break the bread a little bit for us tonight. May we feed off the top of Your oven there in heaven. I pray it'll nourish our souls and hearts. I pray it'll challenge us, Lord, if need be. Bring us back into line a little bit. Whatever our needs are, God, we give ourselves to You. Help us to be people who are hungry for Your book. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. May we, Lord, desire the sincere milk of the Word tonight. May it help us to grow thereby. Well, thank You for it. Holy Spirit of God, be our portion. In Christ's name I ask it. And amen. Solomon, who by the Word of God's own admission, was the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ to live on the earth. The Bible says he set out to write and collect Proverbs. It's kind of a goal of his kingdom, his his time as king. A proverb is a wise sayings, sayings that teach wisdom, sayings, listen carefully, that give people dominion, give people rule. If you follow the do a word study on the word proverb itself, it takes you all the way back to dominion, rule, power, superiority. Now think about that. Proverbs, wise sayings, give people, cause people to live a superior life. I've been teaching that in Sunday school. 100 lessons on wisdom out of the book of Proverbs that cause us to live life wisely. And living life wisely will cause us to live a superior life. I didn't say cause us to be a superior people, looking down our nose at others. Not superior because of our skin color. Not superior because of our financial situation. Not superior because of our educational opportunities. Not superior because of our heritage we've been handed. Superior because people who live wisely live a superior life compared to people who live foolishly. That's a no-brainer, isn't it, folks? Huh? Don't take it rocket science. If you live life wisely, you're going to live a superior life as compared to somebody who lives life foolishly. And the wise man and the foolish man are contrasted all through the book of Proverbs. And so it's a great book. Wise sayings that contain so much in sometimes as little as one sentence. And such is the proverb that we look at tonight will be the focus of our message. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, if we're going to be honest, every person in this room likes riches. Everybody in this room likes money, gold, silver, all of us do. We're all made out of the same stuff. There's nobody in this room who doesn't give a rip when it comes to money. Probably not a man in this room who, if the boss said, I'm going to give you a $10 an hour raise, would say, oh, forget it, I don't care about that stuff. I don't think you'd say that, all right? If so, then we need to have a little talk, amen, and something. But if truth of the matter is, if we piled this choir loft up here, this choir box, if we piled it full of riches, I mean, we put $100 bills in here, and how much could that hold, folks? And gold coins and silver coins, gold bullions and cubes, and just piled it full. I mean, piled it full. Just piled that whole thing full, that whole choir box, just plumb full of gold and silver and riches. And then we had over here just one little simple paper, and it had on it a good name, and say, okay, now take your choice. Do you want that, or do you want the good name? Now, youth would probably run to the choir box. I'm not sure that mature adults would run to the choir box. But the truth about it, if you've lived any length of time at all, and if you've had children, and you've got a life behind you of any years, you understand the value of that good name. And the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A box full of riches. See, you cannot buy a good name. You can't do that. You might as well, I'll take the money because, boy, if I got that money, everything I've been looking for in life, I'll be able to gain because I'll just purchase it. All the valuable things in life cannot be purchased. Joy can't be purchased. Blessing can't be purchased. Usefulness can't be purchased. Contentment can't be purchased. And a good name can't be purchased. Can't be purchased with any kind of money. So it's important. The good name, rather to be chosen than great riches. Let me give you several thoughts tonight on this matter of a good name. This is not a deep message. This is, I would call it a shallow message, but yet, how can you call truth shallow? Truth is truth, no matter what it is. Let me give you some points tonight. Number one, good names are the result of proper choices. Good names are the result of proper choices. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen. Chosen. You see, look at me, folks. Nobody gets a good name just because they want one. Now, you can desire that all you want to. Just like you're not going to have a blessed life just because you want one. You're not going to have a good name. You can want a good name all you want. But if you don't do something to choose and make the proper choices and the wise choices in life, you will not have a good name. Your name will be bad or good dependent upon the choices that you make in this life. Al Capone. Al Capone has a bad name. He has a bad name because he chose a life of robbery and lies and murder and gangsterism. That's why he has a bad name. That's why. Abraham Lincoln has a good name. Abraham Lincoln has a good name because he chose honesty and he chose hard work and he chose persistence and he chose a good life. And that's why he's got a good name still today, 16th President of the United States. We're at 43 now, aren't we? Aren't we 43? I believe it is. And still, Abraham Lincoln is one of the most revered and respected presidents of all the 43. He's got a good name because he made the proper choices. Lot has a bad name. Lot made bad choices. He looked at the well-watered plain of Jordan. He chose that. And he ended up in trouble, pitched his tent towards Sodom, ended up in trouble. Abraham, father of the faithful, friend of God, he's got a good name. Why? Because Abraham had some advantage that Lot didn't have? No, Abraham made the proper choices and Lot didn't. That's why he had a bad. That's why they had a good name and a bad name. Hugh Hefner has a bad name. Hugh Hefner has a bad name. That's a bad name, Hugh Hefner. Because he chose a life of pornography and exploitation of women. John Rice has a good name because he chose a life of chastity and morality in serving Jesus Christ. John Rice didn't have any advantage that Hugh Hefner didn't have. It was the result of the choices they made in life. You choose the name. Good names are the result of proper choices. Benedict Arnold has a bad name because he chose to be a traitor and betray his country and commit treason against his own country. Alvin York and Audie Murphy have good names. Alvin York, I believe, was from Tennessee. That's a great book for your kids to read about his life. What a man. Fearless. Audie Murphy, fearless. Fighting for their country. Brave and true to their country and fearless. And they have a good name because they made the proper choices in life. Joshua and Caleb have a good name. What are the names of the 10 spies? I think they're in here. I believe they're listed, but who knows even one of them? All they're known is the 10 spies. They didn't have any advantage that Caleb and Joshua didn't have any advantage over those other 10 at all. They made the proper choices, and those 10 did not. Osama bin Laden has a bad name. He's a terrible name. When I think of Osama bin Laden, he to me is the epitome of bad hygiene. He just the name. I can visualize that man in my mind's eye. Ugh. Osama bin Laden has a bad name. He's chosen a life of murder and hate. By the way, so much for giving the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians and the end of terrorist strikes. I hope our people in Washington read the newspaper this week about the five. Did you see the picture of the poor lady there lying on the floor, covered, splattered with blood because that goofball blew himself up and blew five other people up in that Jewish market? I thought that was all supposed to stop, folks, when we gave the Palestinians the Gaza Strip. I thought that was all supposed to end. Nonsense. Osama bin Laden has a bad name because he's chosen a life of murder and hate. Lester Roloff has a good name because he chose a life of helping people and loving people. Bad, good names are the result of proper choices. You know that very few names remain neutral? There's hardly anybody, I bet there's nobody in this auditorium. Your name is mentioned amongst your group of friends, co-workers, relatives, neighbors, and there's some emotion attached with your name. There's hardly a name in this room that's just neutral. It brings to mind some character trait, some personality trait. Very few names stay neutral. Almost every name from my past and almost every name from your past carries either a positive or negative reaction in our minds. I'm talking about all the way back to the time that you and I were kids, the people living in our neighborhoods. Every name from our past, friends, neighbors, relatives, co-workers, acquaintances. I think about the old neighborhood. Oh, how thankful I am that I was born born long ago enough. I'm not that old, but I was born long ago enough to understand what a neighborhood was in America. A neighborhood. We had a neighborhood. In Atlanta, Georgia, we had a neighborhood. Everybody knew everybody's name. Everybody. And you could go down that street and just throw a couple names at me. Poppy Steinbeck. I haven't seen Poppy Steinbeck. That was his name. Poppy Steinbeck. Great big rotund man. Poppy Steinbeck. You ever seen those all metal chairs? They're all one piece. The frame is one piece. It comes down and makes a... And they kind of bounce when you sit in them, you know. And that's the kind of chair they had. He'd bounce in that chair. Big heavy man. Poppy Steinbeck. He was friendly. He was laughing. He was an enjoyable person. He was helpful. He was encouraging. My brothers and I and the rest of us boys on the street go riding by. He was a friend to all of us. And we were ornery. But he was a friend to all of us. And we'd often be in his yard. And then there's Mrs. Stark. And growling. And ugly. And snappy. And gloomy. And grumpy. And yelling at us to get the ball out of her yard. And let my yard. And get rah, 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 rah. I can go all the way back to when I was that high. 8, 9, 10 years of age. 7, 8, 9, 10. Start throwing names. Dewey Williams lives next door to us. One of the nicest guys. I think of nice, kind, gentle, sharing, brought a big ham every Christmas over to my folks. I'm just every name down that block. I'm just doing what you're doing right now in your mind. You go to everybody from your past. Every name out of your past brings some kind of emotion to you. Some memory. Some characteristic. You see, good names are the result of proper and good choices. And we need to realize that we are building a reputation right now that will be associated with our names for a long time. And if Jesus stays in heaven and we leave this old world by way of the grave, and those little bitty 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-old kids in our church are then 48 and 49 and 50, and they hear our names, something's going to come to their mind. Hey, he was a happy man. I remember him shaking hands with everybody in church. He was a different fellow. She was a happy lady. She always said hello to me. I'm building a reputation. You're building a reputation with your name right now. Good names are the result of proper choices. Make the proper choices in life so that you'll have that to leave behind. Good names are the result of proper choices. Let me say number two tonight, protect the name you have chosen. Protect the name you have chosen. Some of you have started out to build a good reputation. You've worked hard. The reputation and character of your name can be is the result of weeks and months of time of good character and good behavior. And you've worked hard at that and you've chosen. You've made the proper choices. And friend, do you understand that all of that can be lost in a moment's time? What takes years and years and years to build can be lost that quickly. It can all come crashing down. You know, I asked Brother Don, I said, Brother Don, what do you think about this? He said, if I passed out a piece of paper tonight to everybody, usually on Sunday night, about 275 to 300, depending on who's out of town, who's not, folks here in this auditorium, if we passed out a sheet of paper and it simply had the words David and a blank there, how many in this crowd would insert the name Goliath? How many in this crowd would insert the name? 50% of each? I don't know. But I'll guarantee it wouldn't be 100% David and Goliath, would it? Because the thing that comes to some of our minds immediately is that awful incident with the lady named Bathsheba. David had a stellar life. You know that? Man after God's own heart. The slayer of the giant. Saul hath killed his thousands. David hath killed his tens of thousands. The sweet psalmist of the most of the book of the Psalms. The sweet singer of Israel. And yet, so many people attach that one incident to his name. All the reputation and character came crashing down with one incident in his life. If I said the name Samson and, almost 99.9% of the people in this room would insert the name Delilah there. Very few of us would remember that the Bible says about Samson in the Old Testament, more than any other person, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It doesn't say that as many times about Moses. It doesn't say that as many times about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, David, Elijah, Elisha, Gideon, all those prophets and priests and kings and writers of the Old Testament. Samson. It is said about Samson more than any other person in the Old Testament that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And yet, what do we remember him for? I doubt very seriously if anybody would have written, you know, what is the one thing you think of when you think of Samson? Samson, and nobody would have ever put the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What if I said the name Jonah, and almost all of us, 100% of us, would put what? The whale. Do we ever stop to think that Jonah preached one of the greatest revivals that's ever been held? When he landed in the city of Nineveh, the entire population of that town turned out, had a tremendous revival. Thousands of people were saved. Even the king of Nineveh proclaimed the day of fasting and repenting in sackcloth and ashes. What a revival meeting preached by Jonah. How many remember that about Jonah? John Mark. What do you remember about John Mark? He quit. He left the missionary journey, turned back. Paul didn't want to take him. Yes, but how many of us would take the time to remember or think right away about the fact that he got his life back together, like I preached this morning, after the disaster. He got his life back on track. And when it was all said and done, at the end of Paul's life, he said, "Bring John Mark. He's profitable for me, for the ministry." He ended right, which is what we preached 2 weeks ago. He ended right. That's so important, but very few people remember that. You've got to protect the name that you've worked hard to build. If you've worked hard to make the right choices, if before God you've done right, behaved right with your promises, your character, your finances, your behavior, reputation, don't let your guard down. All of that can come crashing down in a moment's time. Understand, friend, that those men had rather illustrious lives. I'm talking about all of them. I'm talking about David, Samson, Jonah, and John Mark. They had more positive points than they did negative points. But their name carries a reputation that is defined sometimes by one poor choice. Protect your name. I believe Joseph did that. I believe that's one of the things he did when he faced Potiphar's wife in that temptation and she tried to seduce him. And he said, "How then can I? My name is Joseph. I know I'm away from my daddy. I know I'm away from my country. I know my family is not around. I'm away from home, but in a foreign land. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I am Joseph. I have a name, a reputation to protect. The temptation is real. It's strong. But there's something I'd rather have than to give in to that temptation. That's a good name. Protect that good name." And if you've got a good name, work hard to protect it. I think about many of you young people. You've been handed a good name. I'm telling you, there's some good names of men in this church right here, and ladies. Because I throw your name out around town. I throw your name out around people that work where you work. And almost without exception, the reaction is nothing but positive. Some of you men have worked hard to build a good name. You've shown up on time and you put in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And you're the kind of employee that most men want to have and keep and are looking for. And you've worked hard to establish a good name. And now you kids, you boys, you've inherited that name, you girls. Better think twice about that. Better protect your daddy's name. You've been handed an honest name. You've been handed a diligent name. You've been handed a faithful name. Keep it that way. God will bless you for that, friend. He'll bless you for honoring the name of your dad. Protect that name. It's been interesting to talk and visit with Ben as he started on the missions conference trail. And Lord willing, they'll be home again tomorrow night just for Monday night, Tuesday night, then off again. And I think they're leaving. I don't think we'll see them again until now after Thanksgiving, not till December. One of the conferences, he's only been in 3 or 4 conferences. One of the conferences he was in, he was talking with a missionary. The missionary said, "Well, how's it going? How many meetings you got?" And Ben told him, he said, "I've got 80-something meetings." And this guy said, "Well, I don't know why this guy said that, but this is not encouraging to a kid." He said, "Well, that's just because of your dad's name." That's not very nice, was it? I thought that's unnecessary. But anyway, he said, "Well, that's just because of your dad's name." And I warned Ben about that. I told him how to respond to it. Another missionary overheard the conversation, pulled him aside. He said, "Ben, let me tell you." He said, "Don't ever let that bother you." He said, "First of all, he's right." That's what he said. He's right. I'm telling you what he said. But he said, "Second of all," he said, "yeah, you've got a great challenge before you. You protect that name. You keep that name good." And that's what I'm talking about, kiddos. You've been handed a good name. I'm looking at you kids right over here. You've been handed a good name. That man at the end of that pew over there has got a good name. And I could go around this room tonight, you boys back there. You Robert. And you young boys and girls back there, and you kids up here and over here, you boys in the front row and all through this room, your daddy, there's a lot of good names sitting in this building here. Woe be to you. You got to smear that name. God help you. Huh? I think of the selfishness and the immaturity of young people who have taken a faithful name and attached unfaithfulness to it. They've taken a clean name and attached sin to it. They've taken a holy name and attached unholiness to it. They've taken a name that brought thoughts of Bible and church and generous and Jesus and attached to it cigarettes and laid out of church on Sunday and listened to the wrong music and worldliness. God help you if you were handed a beautiful, good, holy name, the name of your dad who's worked hard to establish a good name, and you take that name out and drag it through the mud. God help you, son. Shame on you. You understand the choices. You understand the choices. You understand the choices that have gone into your dad and your mom building that name and making it worth something. You uphold that. You protect that. You have a guard dog mentality about that. And when the underlings and the scum suckers of this world come along and try to encourage you and entice you into sin and wrongdoing, you just remember your daddy's name and don't you drag that name through the filth. Amen. Protect the name that you've been given. Let me say number 3 tonight. It's just random thoughts about this. A good name is the result of proper choices. Protect the name that you've chosen to have or you've been given as a child. Number 3, build a good Christian name. Build a good Christian name. You see, many of you were handed a name that had Christian attached to it. When you got it, as I said earlier, it was Christianity was attached to it. Protect that, as I said. But some of you in this room were handed a name that while it was good in the sense of hardworking and honest and moral, there was not a whole lot of Christian attached to it. You understand what I'm saying? There wasn't a whole lot of Christian character attached to it. Praise God. You can build that kind of a name if you choose to do so. You know, there are some in this church who are first-generation Christians. And to me, that's exciting. You got generation after generation after generation after generation after generation of folks who were not saved, unchurched, not in the Bible, not anything to do with Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, God in His grace reaches down and pulls you out of that and saves your soul. Amen? First-generation Christian. First generation. Are you a first generation Christian? Dad, mom, and grandparents were not saved. Maybe lived a wild, wicked life. Oh, listen, Christian, you begin to establish your name as a Christian name and pass it on to your kids and teach your boys and girls to guard the Christian aspect of your name. Build a name that has church attached to it. Build a name that has Bible attached to it. Build a name that has godliness attached to it. Build a name that has Jesus Christ attached to it. Build a name that has family altar and personal devotions and honest and liberal giver and soul winner and lover of God. Build a name with all of those things attached to it. If you're a first generation Christian, build that kind of name. Build that kind of name. Pass it down to your kids. You can say to yourself, oh man, how much I missed by not being a second or third or fourth generation Christian. I didn't come from a Christian home. I didn't have Christian mom and dad. I wasn't raised by biblical principles. You can bemoan that all your life. Or you can say, okay, but look at what I've got now. Look what the Lord's done for me. Look what He's pulled me out of. And it's not that I don't love my mom and dad, and I hope they get saved and I witness to them. But I can't determine that. But one thing I can determine, I can take the wife and the kids that God has given me right now, and I can begin to build a Christian name. I want to tell you something. There's more of that in this room than you realize. A man sitting in this section over here is a first-generation Christian. Man sitting in the balcony, first-generation Christian. Different places, first-generation Christians. And they've taken that and they've started to build a name that has Christian attached to it. Start a new generation of your name. Build kids with your name that will be completely different than the name you were given. Amen. Spelled the same, but with a completely different attachment altogether. And by the way, handing your kids a good Christian name is more important than handing them a huge inheritance. Truth of the matter is, some of you folks could work a lifetime and never have a huge inheritance to hand your children. But there's something you can give them more valuable than that. You give them a good name. A good name. Let me say number four tonight, that the grace of God can change the character of your name. Yes, it can. The grace of God can change the character of your name. Saul of Tarsus, before he got saved, his name was hated and feared. After he got saved, he came to where the Jews were and they were all afraid. Ah! Only thing we know about this guy is he persecuted Christians, killed them and put them in jail. Saul of Tarsus became the loved and respected Paul the Apostle. What did that? The grace of God. I've been on this theme a little bit recently. I don't know why. It's been on my mind, on my heart a little bit. Maybe a couple of counseling sessions I had that brought it to my mind. But friend, let me tell you something. You got a character flaw? Grace of God can change that. Grace of God can fix that name. Sure can. I'm talking about things that we don't normally think of. I'm talking about we always think with the grace of God changes us from smoking and drinking and wild living and partying and gambling. And He does. He changes all that. But He can change a bad temper. He can change a lustful mind. He can change loose lips. He can change an old, ugly, mean, bitter spirit. Oh, Spirit of God can change all of that. Change your name. I remember I've told you before about my Pawpaw Allen, Meemaw's husband. Pawpaw died when I was 5 years of age. Six. When did John Kennedy die? 63? He died in 62. I was 5 years old. He died the year before John Kennedy did. Pawpaw was a drunk, mean, ugly, bitter, violent. I don't know all that my mother has seen. She won't talk about it. Or my uncle when they were little kids. He was ugly. Violent man. Wicked man. Wicked man. Hospital supplies salesman back in the days when everything was stainless steel, load his car up and leave town, go from hospital to hospital all over the South, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, Kentucky, all over that, hospital to hospital, sometimes get a week's worth of wages, go to the bar on Friday night, drink it all up. Called just out of his mind. Was that way all the way till he was 50-something. And then, after my grandmother praying for all of those years, taking those two little kids to church faithfully, and sometimes not having one dime, God saved him. John Allen became one of the most enjoyable, happy, fun, prank-playing, laughing, joyful men in that neighborhood and in that church. And when he went to heaven, his name was completely different from what it had been for years. What does that, friend? The grace of God does. Grace of God does. The grace of God can change the name, change the character of a name. Let me say number five tonight. You know that a church has a name that reflects on its character? Yep. A church has a name that reflects on its character. When you hear a church name, such and such church, what comes to your mind? We're in the realm of Baptists, independent Baptists. You think of such and such church, what comes to your mind? The thought. What friendly? Helpful? Encouraging, dead, stuck up, snooty, exciting, warm, cold. What comes to your mind? Because churches have a name that reflect on its character. Faith Baptist Church has the name that you and I choose for it. And folks, the sign out front there says Baptist. And there is no denominational affiliation. This is not a convention church. This is an independent Baptist church. And there was a couple here this morning moving into this area. And they went on a search on the web and the yellow pages and found us in the home pages. And it's independent Baptist church. And that's what they came looking for this morning. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot to live up to in that name right there. Independent Baptist churches don't have cold, dead, formal services. No. There's an environment a spirit, if you will, of an independent Baptist church that people, when they come, they expect to find. And that Faith Baptist Church is going to have the character, the name that we give it. You and me. Faith Baptist Church is going to have the character that my behavior away from this place gives it. Let me encourage you. Your life is more than just about you. My life is more than just about me. We don't live in a big city like Chicago where everybody gets lost and millions of people. We live in a town of about 75,000 to 80,000 people in this area right here, a county of about 110,000, and a lot of people know my name and yours. And whatever they know is a reflection on Faith Baptist Church. How you doing? Are you bringing the right kind of character and the right kind of reaction, the right kind of thought to people's minds when they think you go to Faith Baptist Church? Because this church has a name. It reflects the character that we give it. My Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. There's something about a good name. And you know what I mean. There's something about when you hear a name, Brother So-and-so. Boy, that's been a life of faithfulness and dedication and stability. You know what that does in your heart, man. Sister so-and-so. Boy, the emotion, the reaction, the thought in your heart and mind. Oh, I remember her. What a lady. My Bible says that's rather to be chosen than great riches. Silver and gold. How's your name tonight? Does it need some work? The grace of God can change it and fix it. If you got a good one, protect it. If you've been handed a good name, you guard it. Don't take your daddy's name through the mud. Amen. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Father in heaven, take this simple thought. And I pray, God, that you'd bring it right down to where we live. I pray for every man in this room, every lady. I pray for myself. I pray, God, that we'd set out to have a good name. Lord Jesus, give us the grace, the power to have the character and life that helps us have a new name, a good name. Help us to make the right choices. Lord, help us to guard our name. I pray for all these kids in this church tonight that have been handed a name that says something. I pray that they would guard it carefully, protect it, value it, Lord. Whatever needs to be changed about us, like you did old Jacob, I pray that you'd do it for us. God, give us a spirit, a work ethic, a desire to have. Thank you so much for the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Certainly when we think of that name, it brings joy to our hearts. Thank you, dear God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody here tonight say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. Would you lift a hand? Anybody like that here tonight? Boy or girl, man or woman, anybody in between? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I see a couple of small children's hands. God bless you, little kiddos. Somebody here tonight, I've been saved, but never baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? I might say, Pastor, while you were preaching tonight about the subject of a name, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart one of those points or more. And boy, it really dealt with me about something. I mean, either encouraged me or convicted me or something on this subject of a good name. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight all over the room? Would you be honest about that before God? Thank you. Take your hands down. Let me ask specifically tonight, how many of you young people say, Pastor, God being my help, I'd like to protect my name, my dad's name. My dad's given me a good name. My mom's name is good. I listened tonight when you preached. I don't want to drag my dad's name through the mud. I don't want to drag mom's name through the gutter. Pray for me, Brother Angel. I want to do right by my name. Would you lift your hand, young people? All right, would you do that? That's wonderful. God, I'll slip down to the altar tonight and just make a promise to God. Say, God, you've been my help. Be in my help, oh God. Be in my help. At this altar tonight, I want you to help me not to drag my dad's name any place it ought not be. Young person, you ought to make that decision tonight. God will bless you for it. It's part of honoring your parents. Dear Father, bless every heart that was represented tonight by hand. Help us, O God, to work hard by your grace to have a good name. Apart from you, it's hard to have a good name. But with you and your grace, we can have one. Bless us to do so tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's have an invitation. Would you step out tonight and come? You raise your hand. Make a choice for God tonight. Make a choice for God and for right. Make a choice for God and for right. Would you come? Would you come? That's it. Make God a promise tonight, young person. Ask God to help you. Maybe some dad is challenged here tonight to work hard the remaining years of your life to pass down to your children. You may not give them millions of dollars, but you leave them a good name. The Bible says you left them something more valuable, great riches. Won't you come tonight? Spend a little time at this altar, would you? Won't you come? Would you come? I thank you for your book. Lord, please help us. This simple little matter. Christmas around the corner. Everybody, when am I going to get my child? When am I going to get my kid? The Lord is okay. I'm for it. How much more important to leave my good name? Jesus, if you stay in heaven, or some of us leave this world by way of the grave, I pray that we'll do so with a good name. For your honor and glory. For the cause of Christ. For the betterment of our family. In Jesus' name I pray. Help us, Lord. Amen.